All right, Luke chapter 12, and Jesus is giving some parables and speaking to his disciples, and I wanted to read really the portion about staying dressed for action, which you'll find in verse 35. But before we get there, there's a couple of things to pay attention to, and so I'll read a few verses before. In Luke chapter 11, verse 33, Jesus says the following words: "No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light." All right, that metaphor of light and lights that have been lit and set in a public place where you can shine, or at least in a prominent place where you can see what you're doing, that is a beautiful image that you can consider pretty much any day of your life, because we have the day gives way to night, and at nighttime we need to turn the lights on. And when you turn the lights on, you can think about this amazing appropriation of Jesus, that your attitude, your eye, the way with which your perspective is, you know, the way you see the world is what's going to give light or darkness to your soul. And I've talked about this before, and it is one of my it's one of my shaping verses, the verses that have shaped my life and my choices when it comes to perspective, particularly in a world that's awash with different ideas and opposing ideologies and a lot of angry people. Have you noticed that there's a lot of angry people around? It's not new. They've always been there. And more recently, over the last decade or so, we've just discovered their opinions more frequently because we have those social media apps that we scroll through. And it makes us mad when we see other people mad. And anyway, I'm not going to talk about social media today because we don't need another diatribe against it. But I'll leave the Holy Spirit to do that work in your hearts and in your lives. But I do want to say this, that our perspective is going to give light. It's just, let's take the metaphor and say that whatever we look at, Jesus says, this is what gives light to our whole being, and the fuel for that light is what we continually look at. Now, he says, therefore, be careful that whatever light it is that you have in you is not actually darkness. That's a little bit of a mixed metaphor here, but essentially he's saying you don't want to have the light that you're giving forth be the devil's light. That's what he's saying. You want the light that you're giving forth to be God's light. So the admonition here really is about what it is you choose to make the very source, the fuel of your outward persona. So I've noticed that when people get older, they tend to become more complainers. Have you noticed this about older folk? They complain a lot. Not any older folk in this congregation. Besides, we have no old folk in this congregation, right? We're all young, especially us 50-year-olds. Anyway, the older we get, the more likely we are to complain about how things are not like they used to be, right? Which is actually not true, because they never used to be like that anyway. We just remember what we want to remember. But the older we get, the more we complain, because we are no longer quite as capable of changing the world around us. There's a younger crowd coming up, and they want to do whatever they want to do, and we're losing control. And so we complain. Well, as it turns out, the light that's shining forth from the complainer is not positive light. It's not encouraging. It's not uplifting. It doesn't build anything. Well, as it turns out, there's a whole swath of young people growing up with a lot of pretty mean things to say about their culture, about their society, about the law, about pretty much everything that's gone before them. And it's an effort to find identity for themselves as the new kid on the block, the rebellious new one who's going to take charge and be the leader. I want to encourage you, whatever stage you are in life, Let the light that comes forth from you be true light. Because as it turns out, if it's not Jesus that you're shining, you're actually going to be leading people astray. Everything that is that we focus our attention on can be for the Lord's glory or not for his glory. So be careful what it is that you focus on. It does affect who you are. It affects how you behave. It affects every conversation of your life. If all you can do is see how the world is going to the bad place in a handbasket, it's very likely that you will not shine the light and the love and the hope of Christ. Instead, you will become angry, disagreeable, vindictive, legalistic, and so forth. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't judge righteousness from unrighteousness. But if it's all we ever do, be careful, my friends. It may not be light. Now, that being said, let's move on to Luke chapter 12, to where Jesus speaks again about lamps and keeping them burning. So first, we have the admonition to be careful what it is that we're burning and make sure that the fuel that we're burning here gives us pure light, not shady light, not shadows and darkness. Okay. Verse 35 of Luke chapter 12, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Okay, just a pause there for a moment. Stay dressed for action means don't put your pajamas on. That's what it means. Stay dressed for action. Emilio and I took a little challenge a few weeks ago, and we decided that we would do that fundraising walk, and we started out at midnight on August 30th/31st. We started out in Provincetown at midnight, and we walked all through the hours that we should have been sleeping. Actually, I'm not sure that I wasn't sleeping while I was walking. As you guys know, Emilio said there were some times when he was afraid that I might actually be fast asleep and wandering myself out into the middle of the highway when big 18-wheelers were driving by. It was kind of scary. But it is not fun to stay awake when you should be sleeping. Wouldn't you agree? I don't think there's a person here in this room who doesn't love sleeping. Do you hate sleeping? Does anybody hate sleeping? No, of course you love it. It's a restful period. It's a regeneration. And it's just lazy sometimes. It's great. It's fantastic. Tammy and I went on vacation. We spent a week just sleeping. It was terrific. I mean, no lie. I'm going to follow that rabbit for just a minute. We set up this campsite. It was beautiful, looking over a lake, kind of hidden by some trees, but it was beautiful. Colors were starting to change here and there. We're up in the Berkshires. Phone doesn't work. We're far away from everything. We've got our two little dogs. And so we get up early in the morning, make a cup of coffee, have a little breakfast. Then we kind of look at each other like, I'm going to take a nap. How about you? Yep, I'll take a nap. We wake up at lunchtime, make some lunch. Want to take a nap? Yeah, I'm going to take a nap. We wake up at dinner time. And feed the dogs, you know, let them go out and stuff. And then take another nap, wake up in the morning. It was terrific. Sleep is good. I hate staying up. Jesus says, stay dressed for action. Come on. The Lord is giving us a strict word. I know that sometimes my family has said to me, Dad or Eric, you're running too fast. We can't keep up. The pace is too intense. We've got to chill. We won't be able to maintain this forever. But as it turns out, Jesus doesn't give us any excuses to loose up on the pace when it comes to our faith. Now, when it comes to the works, whether it's works of ministry or working in your business or working in your trade, you need to take a Sabbath. And the Lord is all about that. But when it comes to faith, when it comes to holding fast to the things that the Lord has instructed, when it comes to maintaining our commitment to the Lord and to His truth, there is never a day when it is okay to slack off. Never. Not one. There is never a day when it is okay for us to say, Jesus, I'll pick up with you again tomorrow. Be careful. You might find tomorrow when you look for him, you can't find him because he's moved on. In the same passage, just a few verses earlier, people were coming to him and saying, Jesus, you know, I want to walk with you. And Jesus would call them, come with me. And they'd say, well, can we just like, you know, can we take care of business at home and then follow you? And Jesus made statements like, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And he made these firm charges. He laid them on us to say, if you're going to follow me, you need to follow me with your whole heart. And you can't lighten up on that pace. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast. This is a little bit of an image that is a bit lost on us here in our Western 21st century culture, but encourage you to maybe search out and find out what a Middle Eastern wedding is like and what a first century Middle Eastern wedding might have been like in order to be able to understand the metaphor. But suffice it to say for now that the master has gone out to this wedding feast and his servants are waiting for him at home to return, and they're supposed to take care of business while he's gone. A wedding feast could be in another city or another county or far away. It takes a while to get there, and a person could be gone for a week or two or even longer, depending on the wedding. And so the master's servants are to take care of business while he's away, and he is returning, and they are responsible to him for that. So the metaphor that the Lord uses is very apropos for us. We know that the Lord is not with us right now, and we have been left in charge of his household. And he is returning. He's gone to prepare a place for us, he said, and he will return to take us there. That's a promise that he made. So we know he's coming, and we know for the last 2,000 years of church history, we've been waiting for the Lord's return. And so some would say, well, the Lord promised he's coming, but he's very slow in coming, so he's probably not going to come back in our lifetime. So you can relax a little bit. Not according to this word. Not according to this word. As you know, our theme here at Living Hope Family Church for the last few months has been about preparing our hearts. And in a season of preparedness, as we prepare our hearts for something, the question is, what am I preparing for? And then how do I prepare? And so the answer to the first question is, you are preparing for the return of the Lord. Ultimately, that's what you're preparing for. And Jesus gave us that right here. He said, I am coming back. Be ready. And if we are to be ready for the return of the Lord, then how ought we to prepare ourselves? Well, let's read on. He says, be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. We are preparing ourselves for the return of the Lord, whether it be a partial return of the Lord, as in the return of the Lord's Spirit in a spirit of revival upon our nation or upon our peninsula or upon our church or simply upon your family. You are waiting for the outpouring of God's grace upon you, are you not? Of course, we are also waiting for the Lord to split the eastern skies and to bring an end to all of this, but to redeem us to himself utterly and completely in that final redemption for which our souls yearn and which we have the down payment for right now, the presence of the Holy Spirit. But while we wait for that to happen, let us be in preparation for the visitation of the Lord upon our lives and homes right now. And if we're going to do that, then how do we do it? We need to be prepared so that when he knocks, we immediately open the door to him. There's no hesitation when he knocks on the door. We need to know the Lord's voice so clearly that when he knocks, we open. And there is no questioning. Is this God? Is this not God? How do we prepare ourselves like that? Interesting question. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. So how do we prepare for this? Stay awake. Stop sleeping. I hate that word. Stay awake. What are you talking about? I love to sleep. God wants us to stay awake. That means you've actually got to fight against the natural tendency to become drowsy in your faith, to become lax in your faith, to back off of your pace, to take a little nod off and sleep for a little while and not pay attention to what God is saying. Stay awake. Stay awake. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table and he will come and serve them. Oh, God. Could you feel that right there? Maybe it's just me, but I just broke out in goosebumps all over the place. Our King will come and serve us. I cannot even begin to fathom such a thing. Oh, my brothers and sisters, stay awake. Stay awake. Your King is coming. Stay awake. Your King is coming. Stay awake. Your King is coming. And if he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. The longer we stay awake, the deeper into the night we stay awake, the more blessed we are. It's all fine and well that you stayed awake until 1 o'clock, but if he comes at 4 o'clock and you're sleeping when he comes, the reward will have been greater for those who stayed awake until 4. Blessed are those who he finds awake. Blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what time the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. He says an interesting thing, and at this point it's kind of a bit confusing because you start wondering, well, is Jesus a thief or is Jesus the master? Who's the master? Who's the thief? Let me just simplify it for you all and say this. There's one master, and that's Jesus. There's one thief, and that's Satan. And the thief, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you need to know the difference between the master's voice and the thief's voice. And if you're awake, you will know the difference. But if you are asleep, you will not. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. That's why we stay awake, because the thief will come. And if we are awake, we will be able to resist him. But the master is also coming. Be assured, if the thief comes, it's because the master is also coming. And the thief is coming because he does not want you to be there when the master returns. But we have a great God who is greater than all of the devices of Satan. He is able to overcome, and we are able to overcome through him. Christ has overcome and crushed the serpent's head, and he will soon crush Satan under your feet also. Let us stand firm and steadfast and not fall asleep. Amen.